Tell you a story about one of Cindy's relatives. Cindy's sister Nancy is married into the Timmons family, and the grandpa Timmons was a great, he was a super teacher, and he was like Mr. Mitchell Colonel. That was the name of the town he was in, the Mitchell Colonels, and he was a super teacher. All the kids just absolutely loved him. He went to every ball game, and he was always volunteering for something. You know, he was one of the linesmen if they were doing the chain gang bunch, or sometimes he was selling popcorn for the band. Whatever it was, he was always there, and he worked in that school system his whole life. They just loved Mr. Timmons. But finally, he retired, and it was a struggle for him. At first, he got involved with the school, still volunteered, and kind of felt a little purpose, but you could tell as a year went by and that 2 years that Mr. Timmons had kind of lost his purpose in his life. And there came a time in his life where he just didn't get out of bed. He just laid there. He was in that deep of a depression. His bed was upstairs, and his wife would go in there and try to get him to do something. Come on, don't you want to go volunteer at the game? And he said, no, no, I just don't feel like it. And so he's just kind of stuck there in bed. Remember Willy Wonka and those parents, the grandparents in the bed? Well, that's kind of how he was. And his wife was so frustrated, and his family was so frustrated. But one day, his wife got an idea. And she went over to the band director, Mr. Behrens, and she said, hey, could you guys march over to our house tomorrow? It's his birthday. And could you march over there and stop by at our yard and just play the school song right up to his window? I think that could really be something. And I know this story because Ben was in the band at the time, and he told us about it. They got their uniforms on. And they put them on, and they marched about five blocks over there to Mr. Barron's house, and they got on the yard, and she said, just wait a minute, let me go up there and open up the window. So she went and opened up the window and tried to pull him out of bed, and he wouldn't get out of bed. And then they started playing the school song, you know, the Mitchell Colonel school song, and they played it with everything they had, put their horns right up to the window and blasted it for about 5 minutes. They played it about three times. And on the third time, Mr. Timmons got up and he went to the window, his tears in his eyes, and he found his song again. He found his purpose. He got back involved with the school again. He found a way. He found his song. That is a wonderful story about finding your song, right? Wouldn't it be great if we could just play each other's school song and that would do it, right? But life's a little more difficult. When we get down into those depressive times, it's not so easy to get through, right? And so how do we help someone, or how do we ourselves get out of those pits when we're in there? It's an interesting story. This story about Ruth and Naomi. Many of you have studied it, but I'm going to say a lot of times our studies don't take the word Mara serious enough. Naomi changed her name to Mara. What does Mara mean? Bitter. She had been renamed. Her bitterness, her depression, she had taken that name on. She was not happy. And I think if you really want to read this story accurately, you have to understand how Ruth just gently coaxes Mara back into life. Mara didn't want to get back into life. She had had it. She'd had enough. But Ruth has this way of taking some risks herself and getting involved in things to make Mara turn back into Naomi. And that's really what this story is about. Naomi didn't want to come back into life, but Ruth coaxed her there. She coaxed her there. And how did she do it? She took risks, man. That's the other thing we do not understand about this story. The female population in that day had no power. Absolutely none. They were pawns in the men's ball game. I wish it was different sometimes today, and I'm hoping it's moving to a different place, but we still struggle with that, right? Equal rights for all. And Mara, or Naomi, and Ruth had no power. Not only that, they were at risk. You can read it kind of in between the lines in the story, because when Ruth goes and gleans in the fields, that was their welfare program, by the way. That was the welfare program of that day. The fields, people who owned fields, were not supposed to take everything out of the field. They were supposed to leave some grains down in the ground, and then those who didn't have enough would follow behind and gather grain. And we think, and in our hearts, we say, well, that's a system at least, right? And that seems like a safe thing. But if you read there, Boaz, who owns the fields, has to tell his workers, leave Ruth alone. Don't bother her. Why does he have to tell them that? Because you know what was the norm of the day. If a young woman went out all by herself in a field, in those days, she would be a victim of violence and maybe even more. So Boaz had to tell his workers not to hurt Ruth. I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like for this foreigner, different colored, different looking, walking in the behind that field, knowing that anybody who would walk behind the field who was young and maybe good looking or whatever would be at risk that way. Wow, what a risk she takes to go out into that field. Doesn't have a lot of choices, but she does. She makes the risk. And that's what I want to say to you, folks. Sometimes when we're dealing with folks who are in depression, when they're struggling, we got to take some risks, you know? We got to do a few things occasionally to kind of get them out of their normal zones, right? And in ministry, we have to take risks. And I want us to think about that this next year, 2025. Come on, Bear Creek. Let's take some risks. Let's do something. Let's get beyond our safeness. We've been there for a while. Let's get out there. Let's do some real, meaningful ministries. We can, and let's do it. I want us to be Ruth-like that way. Let's see if we can. We've got a good foundation going. Let's move it to that next level and really risk it. And when I think about Ruth in our world today, I want to talk about a relative of mine. Her name is Grace McBride. Grace grew up in Kenya. I've never had her out here. They have never come out to the West yet. They're about ready to retire, so I think we'll get them out here in the Pacific Northwest. But my brother Aaron was in the Peace Corps, and he went to Kenya, and he fell in love with Grace in the Peace Corps. And it was a neat story, just so much joy there. But Cindy and I remembered we picked up Aaron, I think, when he came back from the Peace Corps, and he flew into South Dakota in December. And man, he didn't have a coat or anything. He was just freezing. And then Grace came right after, and they got married pretty quickly because she needed to get into the United States system so they could get help. And so Grace and Aaron got married on Christmas Eve. But there was a couple things that happened that I didn't realize at first, and the struggles that she went. First of all, Aaron's best man didn't show up. Now, why didn't Aaron's best man show up? Because he wasn't in favor of Aaron marrying somebody of a different color. So he just said, you can find somebody better, I'm not coming. And that had to have been tough, right? But they went on, and then they went to college. They went to get their master's and doctorates at University of South Dakota in Vermilion, South Dakota. And my sister recently told me that she lived with them, and when they would walk downtown or walk into the grocery store, oftentimes they'd have people stop them and just tell them they were doing wrong things, that they shouldn't be together, that they shouldn't be united. And oftentimes there would be people shouting at the window when they're outside, just ugly remarks. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. I suspected. But we don't realize that, do we? Sometimes when we are the dominant culture, when we're the dominant color, what people of color go through. But Grace kept risking it. She kept working at it. She got her degree in teaching. She started teaching. They moved to Washington, D.C. They had two kids, and they worked hard at building a life here in the United States. And because of the United States, love, and there was love, and the connections they were able to make with other Kenyan folk and other friends of my brother, they have learned to thrive in this country. They have made it, just like Ruth and Naomi did. And so I want you to think about this morning, people in your life who might be different than you are. Maybe there's someone down the street. Maybe there's someone who you work with. Ruth and Naomi, someone who is different like Ruth. And think about the journey they've been on. How can we at Bear Creek help folks like that find home, find place, learn to thrive? And in doing that, I might add, we maybe work ourselves out of where we are. Sometimes in kind of a low depression, which we often are. I think if we reach out and help someone else, that may help us. So that's my challenge. That's my sermon today. May you learn to live it. And all the people said, amen.